We believe that if we invest more in brand activities, we will be able to increase our conversion rate, or at least lower our cost per acquisition. Because in theory, if a person has already heard about your product, whenever they see that, they're like, okay, I know that that product is an authority in the field. I would give it a try.
Why do some companies succeed in driving growth while others fail? How do some individuals advance in their careers to lead teams that change industries? In the age of mobile, these are the stories of the companies shaping the way we interact with our world and the people who drive their growth.
Hello, everyone. We are thrilled to have our next guest, Jessica Bicego, joining us today. She is a computer scientist with a deep passion for marketing and currently the CMO of Paired, a relationship app that helps build deeper connections with your partner. Prior to joining Pair, Jessica has led growth at Blinkist and Kayak. Welcome to the show, Jessica. So excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Mada. I am super excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's start. Tell us a little bit more about Paired and also the work that you've been doing there as well.
Yes, of course. So I joined Paired not so long ago, although it feels like ages. It was January this year. And so let's start from what Paired is. As you mentioned, perfectly. It's an app for couples to take care of your relationship. So what we do is that we have a mobile subscription app available on iOS and Android where you register as a couple and every day you have questions, quizzes, and games that will help you to, you know, keep you closer together. And I mean, the reason that I joined Pair, to be honest, is because I believe so much in this product because I mean, come on, the love relationship is one of the important things that we are in our life. And we take so much time to know, to take care of everything else, that being like mental health, that being like, you know, fitness, health food, like healthy food, everything. But there was like not something about taking care of your relationship. And so that's why the two founders, Diego and Kevin, decided to go into this space and develop something that you can use every day. That really helps you to remember why you felt in love, but even to get to know more about your partner. And yeah, what I do there is that I'm the CMO, so I lead everything marketing related, that being paid, organic, online and offline. So it's a pretty interesting space because I feel since it's so related to emotions, there's so much that goes into brand. And, you know, this is the first time that I take care of 360 of a, you know, an entire marketing department. Before, I was really focused on the performance and the growth side. And for me, it is super exciting to now tap into like the brand side and really get to know what it means to build a brand that is like recognized everywhere. And my goal there is that in a couple of years, whenever people think about relationship, they will really think about Pairs. And that's the first app that will come to mind. So yeah, we're getting there. There's some work to do, but we're definitely getting there.
How do you, so, you know, I think you talked about brand and I think we haven't actually talked that much on this podcast about how you build brand, what are some of the channels that you can use. Tell us a bit about how you are thinking about it. What are some tactics you're using to build the brand that you're mentioning for Pair?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that in the past, there's always been this kind of split between performance and brand. I don't believe in this because I think whenever you put a message out there and someone can see this message, you are automatically doing brand. The thing is that the issue is that I think a lot of startups and companies, they really like depend on performance marketing. And what happens is that when you depend so much on performance marketing is that you sometimes don't really, you know, stick to the brand because when you join new channels like TikTok, for example, or Snapchat at the time, you need to develop special creatives that really works on that channel. But sometimes you forget about the brand, you know, and you think only about performance, KPI, like reaching a certain efficiency. I think if you really want to build like a sustainable, long-lasting brand, what you need to do is like put the performance word and the brand word together and think that every message that goes out there is an opportunity for you to display your brand. So for example, would you display your brand in a channel that brings you short-term results but hurts your brand in the future? Probably not. And I think companies that really like focus on performance marketing, they tend to do that. What we're trying to do differently at Paired is that we really look at the long-term impact of like the collaboration that we do, the marketing channels that we decided to onboard. And sometimes these channels that don't really bring results right away, but we take the risk to see, you know, what will give us that long-term effect and will increase and boost our awareness. So in terms of channels, to be honest, it's really the same channels. Of course, if you go more into out-of-home TV, these are channels where you actually build more brand awareness rather than that, you know, the clear results. But I think we're not at the stage to go to that direction yet. I think we're using the normal, let's say, digital channels, a little bit of offline to really build the foundation to then move to these like more high level channels, if you want. And the measurement, because I think there's a lot of discussion about like, hey, but how do you measure this?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. You know, how
I'm
do you measure
your mind,
this?
I'm reading your mind. Yeah, I mean, so first of all, I think that there's a lot of things that, so you can measure things, but you also have to believe in brand, because even when you measure, you're not going to see results right away. What you can use to measure is simply, you know, you can do brand surveys where you ask for like brand awareness so people recognize your brand. And we use these metrics to really evaluate, are we improving in the US, in the UK or whatever market year over year? You cannot really run though multiple, you know, you usually run like one study per year. So it's not really useful to see the month over month changes. There are some other metrics that we're currently looking to. One, for example, is the share of search in terms of like how many people would look for our brand on Google. And this is like highly correlated with like, you know, partnership or like more brand awareness activities. We also look at organic mentions. In general, we look at engagement on social media. So we try to put together a lot of different metrics and to see how they all relate together. And what we want to do also next year is like, we believe that if we invest more in brand activities, we will be able to lower, like increase our conversion rate or at least lower our cost per acquisition. Because then in theory, if a person has already heard about your product, whenever they see that, they're like, okay, I know that that product is an authority in the field. I would give it a try. Well, if you've just seen an ad on Facebook that tells you, hey, take care of your relationship, you know, people may not react in the best way. So we are also looking at the conversion and the cost per channel month over month and year over year. But again, it's not a perfect science. It's not like performance marketing where it's like one click and you measure everything. Although with iOS 14, it's not exactly like that. You kind of have to believe it. But I think it makes a lot of sense. And to be honest, that's also what pushes you ahead of a competition, right? Because if you think about all the products that you use, how many things are you using them? Because you just heard about them, because someone referred to them, because a friend recommended that. And how many would you just like find in the supermarket and just buy? I think it's, you know, even in our day-to-day life, we see how important it is to build a brand. So I'm trying to like...
100%.
Yeah, bring that from like the usual and classic marketing setup to the startup environment and the digital environment.
And what are, you know, you've talked about TikTok and... You know, what do you think are your best channels today to both build brand and acquire users for your app? And how are they different from each other? And how do you think about them? And, you know, it'd be cool if you could talk about offline. I know you're doing a little bit of that and we see that less, but maybe talk about the digital ones and then anything that's a little bit outside of that.
Of course. Happy to go through the channels. I'm probably going to build like my experience, not only a pair, but also like in, you know, at Blinkist, for example,
yeah, perfect.
Or a Kaya.
That sounds great.
Just because I think over the past 10 years, I had the opportunity to really test a lot of different channels. So it's really, really nice to see how they're different. I mean, the best channels are usually the easier one to start. So, you know, the classic Facebook and Instagram. Every company probably has these kind of channels. They're easy to start. It's easy to track. It's easy to create creative. So, of course, like if a new brand will come to me and will ask me, okay, where do I start? It's definitely one of the things that I would recommend. The only thing about Facebook is that they tend to just say that they bring a lot of more results compared to the one that they actually bring. I still believe that, especially if you do like a cold ad that is like straight to the app store, I don't know the brand effect that these kind of channels can have. There's definitely like an uplift effect, but yeah, probably not so much. And similar to that is TikTok, I would guess. What we see on TikTok is that definitely the prices are pretty cheap compared maybe to Facebook. But at the same time, the quality of the user may be different from the one on Facebook. But again, if you are targeting like a younger audience, it definitely makes sense. Offline channels, I really love, I mean, I call them offline. I'm not sure if I would consider them offline, is influencer marketing and podcast advertising. I've done tons of this, especially in my previous job. And you know, influencer is usually something that is like not perceived as something that you can track. It's actually the opposite. Like you can track almost everything, especially if you, even if you have an app, if you develop a landing page and you send people to that page, you do not only see the people converting, but you even see people that shows that they are interested in the product. What I've seen is that influencer is a great way to really grow your business. It's really time consuming, especially if you do direct buying and not through an agency, because you have to negotiate deals. You need to like, for example, it's not just one post or one, like, I don't know, video on YouTube. It's like you negotiate for like 4, 5, 6 different videos. Then you need to create the perfect brief and you want to have a special brief for each influencer. So it takes a lot of time, but it's so good. And it's so good for brand awareness because you suddenly are associated with like big personalities in the social media space. And people love that. So that's why also the conversion rate that you'll see with influencers is usually much higher than the one that you see, for example, with Facebook, just because these people are, you know, longing for like for suggestions from the host. So they really believe. And similar with podcast advertising, that's also what I see. The prices are insane. So if you compare CPM, where impression in podcast would be the average amount of listeners, if you compare Facebook and let's see podcast, we're talking about like 10 times higher CPM. So the first time that you see, you're like, okay, this will never work. But then you have to consider that these people, first, they respond much better. And then they bring so much more results than what you can track. They bring like organic uplift. They will remember. Plus, in podcast advertising, you have the people that comes when you release the podcast. But you also have like 5 to 10% of people that will come later on because maybe they're like new users that go back and listen to old episodes. So again, another great channel where you can really build awareness. When it comes to TV, I mainly have experience using TV as a performance channel. So, you know, like just making sure that we acquire people, a user at a specific cost per acquired customer. That means that, of course, you don't buy the best placements, but more like you focus on remnant traffic that, you know, it works, but I also think that it doesn't really build a lot of awareness. So I think in that case, to just take a specific, you know, do an uplift study and just look at how many people you will bring with a specific TV spot going on air is probably the best way to measure. I will not assume that these kind of ads, they will have a long-term effect. And then, I mean, we have spent a lot of time, let's say, nourishing paid content channels. So that would be channels like Outbrain and Taboola. That is called native advertising because when you go to, for example, the CNN website, you're reading an article, you scroll down, you see articles sponsored by Outbrain, and that's where these ads appear. And they look super native. So people would think that maybe it's an article from CNN or from whatever publication you're in. This has been probably game-changing when I was at Blinkist. We established it with one of the first mobile apps to actually use this as a big source of acquisition. And it's really interesting because you don't send people directly to the app store. You send them to like a blog post in your magazine that talks about the app or whatever content. And then from there, there's a call to action that go to the app store. Now, this is a channel that I've been talking about quite a lot over the years. And I'm not worried about sharing too much because not so many people can make it work because it's so much work. Yes, there are so many pieces, but it's like such a good channel because you pay per click. So that means that you have tons of impression for free. You know, if nobody clicks, nobody, you know, you don't pay anything. And we were able actually in some countries to really work on brand awareness just through this native advertising. So I think it's also like a channel that is definitely interesting to consider. But yeah, not so many people have the resources probably to make it work.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. I think about it. Yeah, we've never been able like at Branch to actually get content syndication to work that well. But I think it's really interesting to hear that it worked well for you. And yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely makes me think I should try it again.
Yeah, but I also think it depends on the platform, the product, you know, like it would not work for everyone. Similar to search. Search is an amazing channel, but does it work for everyone? It depends. If you are a completely new product and people don't even, you know, you're trying to establish yourself, yeah, exactly. And people don't know you and don't know what you're doing, it's not the best channel. So yes, you can spend maybe $2,000-$3,000 per month, but it's not what is going to make a difference. And I think similar, paid content, amazing channel, but probably you need to be a specific kind of company that focuses more on content.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're building a completely new market, people are not searching for that. But if you're in a very established market, I think search can work really well. Search works really well for us, especially organic search and building SEO. So that has... Cool. That's really interesting. Do you have, one of the questions I've always asked is around campaigns. And, do you have a campaign that worked really well that you're very proud of, and it may be one that you thought was going to work and failed? Because I think we learn just as much from mistakes as we learn from successes.
Of course. It's like also the motto of my podcast. So let me think. I would say campaigns. I mean, maybe... No campaigns, but I'm thinking about creatives.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I don't know. I have this thing. I'm usually not the one coming up with creatives, but I have this thing that whenever I think that something is going to work, it never really works. So I remember once that I came up with like some really silly creatives. We didn't have designers at the time. And it was about like, instead of like, it was like making fun of the fact that people spend ages in the bathroom, scrolling their phones. And in the time that you roll that phone, you can actually use it to learn something new. And I remember this is like these creatives with like dog and cats sitting on a toilet. And I thought like, oh, this is so much fun. You just put a dog and a cat and it's going to be so funny. And this concept is amazing. And I remember it was like kind of really bad. It was really, really a failure. But we didn't really spend too much money. Regarding like a memorable campaign, I think probably... I don't remember which year it was, but it was like the New Year, New You campaign that we did at Blinkist, where we talked about New Year resolution. And it's, it's interesting because, of course, every brand is doing that in January, right? Every company, no matter if you're in fitness, education, whatever, they talk about like, oh, New Year, New You, you can achieve everything. But I really enjoy particularly that campaign because it was giving you specific advice on how you could reach the goals of that year and, the specific books that will actually help you to achieve that. And also we came up with a way that we were able to target user with a certain creative. So for example, do you want to get better in health? Do you want to get better in fitness? Do you want to get better at business? And then we were like sending people to a specific onboarding flow dedicated to that. And so really like putting together the acquisition side with the product side, that for me was like super successful. It was not like crazy good compared to the years before, but I just thought for the user, we received so many good feedback and it was such a nice feature that I think it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I wonder if the conversion or retention was better through those than, yeah, that's cool.
I don't remember actually. We didn't check, but I guess it would. That's what we see sometimes with paid content, the channel that I mentioned before, that sometimes the retention is higher simply because it's not that you just have an ad and you send people to the app store. You have an ad, you send people to a piece of content. They read, they get to know that, I don't know, other people are using that app or maybe like some insights about the app. And when they download and subscribe, they already are kind of a power app user. They know already much more than someone that would click on Facebook. And so they will actually have a higher retention rate later on. But yeah, I guess it depends on the platform.
That's very cool. So, we learned a lot about some of the campaigns that you've worked on. I think I'd love to hear how you got into the role that you're in right now. I know you started, I was reading that you started work very early. If you have a very cool background, tell us a little bit about it and in your journey to where you are today.
Oh my God, it's been such a long journey. Where should I start? From when I was a teenager?
Sure.
I would say that I really didn't have a clear idea of what I wanted to do growing up. Like I thought I wanted to be a vet because I love dogs and cats so much. That's why I use them in every creative that I develop. But then I was like, no, that's not my thing. So when I started university, I started to work actually really young because I wanted to like save money to go to university. So I did, to be honest, every type of job. And then when I arrived at university, I still was working. So it took me like quite a bit to really like graduate. And I even switched because I started with mathematics. And then I felt like, okay, this is not for me. And I switched to computer science. And even there, I switched to computer science and even that was not for me. So how I started my journey in marketing is that there was this like agency based on the city where I started, Padua. and they had a side project. The side project was an e-commerce of sex toys. And they just like randomly, you know, obtained this amazing domain that in Italian was like just perfect for what they were doing. And, but yeah, they couldn't really, you know, really grow the business. So at that time I was looking for an internship because I needed to like finish my study and I had to do my thesis. And they just hired me. And I was able to work on the e-commerce. I had to develop like an algorithm to reorder things that ended in the, like they were finished. But at the same time, I had to take care of the entire e-commerce. And it's so funny because imagine me, my first day at work, I go to this agency, I go in my office, and my office is like a storage of dildos. So that's where I started.
Wow. Oh my God, that's so funny.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I started from there and I remember I was taking care of everything there. So CRM, user acquisition, social media, but also PR, also like everything else, like customer support, putting the products in packages and send them away, like really, really everything. And I think, and of course the development of the website and like this algorithm that I build on the background. And I think that's where I discovered like, wow, I really love marketing because I was doing, you know, a little bit of everything. And I'm so grateful for that experience because I could really try everything. And then I thought like, okay, marketing, I really love it. So I started there, but then they put me with some clients that they had for the digital agency part. And I started to do more like social media. I did like a class to learn more about like social media marketing. Then I switched and I decided to join like another agency, but still I was really focused on, I would say, more brand side and social media side. And I was doing a lot of advertising. And still, I didn't feel fulfilled. Like, I felt that all this time studying computer science and mathematics was a bit lost because I was not really using that. And so I felt like I really want to learn more about the performance marketing side. But, you know, initially, there were not so many opportunities. It was really hard, especially to find someone that would hire you without experience and, like, teach you things. And that's why I moved to Berlin and I joined Kayak, that, to be honest, has been like the perfect gym, let's say, to learn like the technical side of marketing. Because of course, all the travel companies, they're really like focused on data. They really focus on like scaling. They always have their own bidding algorithm. So I learned so much. And I think I was there for 2 years, but you know, I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I just like to work for a smaller company where it's clear the impact that I can have. And that's where I joined Blinkist, first leading performance marketing. And then after 6 years at Blinkist, I was like, performance marketing, I love it. But you know what? I want to lead the entire marketing department. I want to have visibility in all the touch points. And yeah, that's why I decided to join Paired. So that's my journey.
That's awesome. I love it. And at Paired, you've been really building a team from the ground up. You know, what's been the most challenging and what's been the most rewarding part of that process?
Yeah, I mean, when I joined, we were 15 people and now we are already like 25 or 27 and it's been only less than 6 months. It's great and we're growing a lot. I would say that for me, I mean, the most exciting part is that what I noticed is that they really hired experienced people. So everyone at the company, they really work in another company before, they have years of experience and they are expert. And I can see how this is paying off because everyone knows exactly what they have to do. There's no much need for, you know, project management because everyone knows exactly what to do and they don't need too many inputs. So I really, really love that. I think another thing that I love is that they still, since we're still growing, it's still like a small team. There's a lot of like ideas exchange. So I feel that I can really have an impact on every part of the business, even on the product side or, I mean, marketing side, of course. And maybe like the challenge has been to probably, you know, to grow in general, because I think when I joined, they were already pretty good in terms of acquisition. And so my goal was like to expand and hire the team. And at the same time, I had to do that, like hiring and finding new people while finding like wins, you know, of performance marketing and brand marketing. And also, to be honest, because I started since day zero to focus on brand marketing. And that's something that I've learned a lot from like the director of brand at Blinkist, but I was not actively doing that. So it was the first time that I really took action on it. It's been challenging because it's been something new, but I absolutely loved it. And now I just hire like a director of brand and I'm so excited about what we're going to do. So yeah, I would say, yeah, that's it.
That's very cool. And I love that, you know, as you said earlier, you believe in the mission for the company. Any tips you've learned from working at Baird, has it affected the relationship with your own partner?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that it's not that I applied at Baird, but I got in contact through a friend of mine. And before I actually signed the contract, I think it was like 7 months before. And I started to use the app with my partner. And it was so good because I've been with my partner for like, I don't remember, I'm really bad at anniversary, but I think 8 years, 9 years. And, you know, a lot of time you forget about like the time where you got together or like the small, silly, romantic things because you're so busy living your life and, you know, the work and everything. So it really made a difference. And I use it a lot, especially when I was pregnant because I had a little bit more time. It just helped us so much to reconnect on a more emotional level and to have fun together. You know, there are these quizzes where you can guess the answer from your partner. We really had fun, like, you know, completing them. And also at the time where I was using the app, I remember that I was, you know, I was expecting my daughter and there was like a content specific about becoming a parent, like in being in a relationship. And I remember it was so useful to read these kind of things because definitely it's hard for the relationship when, you know, a new person comes in. And so I really, really love that part. But I can definitely say that it helped me so much. And I think the main learning that I had is that, I mean, I knew it before, but it kind of underlined that you really need to work on your relationship if you want to make it work. It's not just something that you fall in love and you will be forever in love. You actively need to put time and effort. And also that if you putting is really, it makes really a difference to put time every day for that. So I can see that now that we're trying, like maybe not every day, but at least every week to take that, like even 5 minutes to focus on us and something that is not like, did you do the dishes? Did you do this? But something that goes a bit beyond, it really, really helps us connect and just like feel closer together. So yeah, that's what I learned.
That's awesome. I love it. And congrats on your new addition to the family. Has your daughter changed your outlook on your professional life at all?
Yeah, I say that I was really scared when I got pregnant because I felt, I mean, being a CMO, it was my dream. You know, I wanted to get that position. And when I got pregnant, I felt like, okay, now step back. It will never happen. You know, they will never hire me with a small daughter. Like, I don't know. I had a lot of preconception. And to be honest, it's been completely the opposite. So, I mean, I went on maternity leave. And when I was coming back, I decided to change because I kind of like detached myself from work. And it really helped me to understand that I really, really wanted that position. And then suddenly I started to feel like, okay, but can I have that position, having a daughter and a family? And when I started the interview process, I was pretty clear on the fact that I have a daughter. If you're looking for someone that works like 10, 12 hours a day, it's not me. I have, you know, I need to stop at a certain point because I need to focus on her. And I love that they've been so open to this and, you know, they really care about my mental health and about like me having time to take care of my relationship, like my daughter and my husband. So it's been great. And I feel really good because, you know, I thought that you had to give up the career and it's not true. I'm lucky because of course I have a good job. I can work from home. I have a good pay. So maybe I can pay for like also for help, you know, but so far I see that I can do it and I am so grateful for that. And also it made me more focused because I know that I have these 8 hours and I have not even 1 minute more. So it's like boom, 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 boom. And I mean, also to be honest, they're working under pressure. Like when you work for like months with like 3 hours per sleep a night. Yeah. Oh, no. I think you can face everything.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing. That's really, really amazing to hear. And you also have your own podcast. I think you mentioned it earlier. Tell the audience a little bit about your podcast. What's it about? Where can people find it?
Of course. So we're not as good as you, Mada. We have a podcast, but we publish like 6 episodes in a couple of months and then it's quiet for a year. So we have a lot of seasons, let's say, but we really enjoy doing that. So the podcast is called Mobile Growth Nightmares and my co-host is Andy Carville from Feature. And what we do is like, we actually interview people from, you know, the mobile industry And we asked them about one time where they made a mistake and what they learned from that. So it's really like similar to the question you asked me before about like the best or the worst campaign. Mm. And we do it because we think that a lot of time when you go to conferences or to podcasts, you really talk about the successes. But to be honest, it's not the successes where you learn. It's like the mistakes. That's where you learn the most. And that's why we really wanted to focus there. So yeah, you can go to mgnpodcast.com and you'll find all the episodes.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing. I'll definitely check it out. You know, it was really cool having you today. We usually end the podcast with three a little bit more interesting questions that will get the audience to know you better. So are you ready for our lightning round?
I'm scared, but yes.
No, don't be scared. Okay, so first question. If you had to delete all the apps on your phone and you could only keep one, what would you keep?
Google Maps, because I will be lost.
I love it.
Like, I would love to say, you know, something more entertaining, but it's definitely Google Maps. I will lose myself, even in my own neighborhood.
That makes total sense. I definitely feel like when I ask this question, there's two camps. There's half the people always talk about a communication app and half the people talk about like a utility app. So it's very interesting in which camp you are.
Yeah.
You know, the next question is, if you had an app to talk to one animal and one animal alone, what would you choose?
It would be my dog. Like I told you, I am crazy about animals. And we got Nana, how was 4 years ago? I love her so much. So, and I always like think about what is she thinking, you know, when she looks at me or when she's like with us. You relate to that?
I wonder the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my dog behind me.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I would spend hours talking with her probably.
I think that would be mine as well. And then the last one is, what's an unlikely app on your phone?
Let me take my phone.
Do it.
Oh, well, maybe this one. It's called DeepSea. And I downloaded it like some time ago. And it's actually kind of like, let's say, sexy stories for women, audio stories, just because like I'm really into the audio side of things. And I really love like all these apps that are like related to the audio space. And I think it started with education, like what Blinkist has done. But now there's a lot of apps like, you know, this one, DeepSea, but it's also like Fantasy that I think is based in Germany. They really focus on like, you know, the intimacy part of women, especially women, and how they can be triggered from audio. And this just interests me so much. And I think it's such a good vertical and really, really hard because, I mean, especially to have it in the App Store, it's really not easy. But yeah, so maybe that's the unlikely app.
I love it. Very cool. Okay, awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out. So thanks for the recommendation.
You're welcome.
Well, Jessica, this was so great having you with us today. Thank you so much. I feel like I learned so much. You've had so much good advice on channels, on how to think about growth and brand. And just really, really grateful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had so much fun and I hope to see you soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review wherever you listen to this and share with someone trying to grow their career. Until next time, keep growing.